It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with verse 31, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. So as you open your Bibles to that text, why, we'll enjoy a wonderful study today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many studies there. I hope that you enjoy them. Hope that it helps you to grow. Hope that it helps you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And as well, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it been said by them of old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compare thee to go a mile, go with him twine. Give unto him that ask thee, and for him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye therefore perfect, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wonderful reading. We're not going to get near that far today, but I wanted to finish the chapter there, and now we can go to the Lord in prayer and begin the study. Father, thank you that we can enjoy the study today. I just praise you and thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you've given us and it's just so wonderful, Father, to be a child of God. And I hope that there's no one here that has missed that opportunity, that they have turned away and instead of realizing the need of salvation, and instead of knowing that they must be born again, and it's a personal relationship, it's just not something that you understand all of your life, and okay, I was born in a Christian family, I've always went to church, and so I must be a child of God. Father, please help folks to understand that that's not so. They must know you as their Lord and Savior. They must invite you in when your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, convicts their heart of sin, shows them how that they're lost, and then the need that they have for salvation, and then invites you to come into their hearts. You died on that cross. You took all our sins away. Your sins were nailed to that cross. Father, please, I thank you. I praise you that you have saved my soul. And I thank you that there isn't one soul that's ever lived that does not have that same opportunity. So don't let them miss it, Father, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked the last time we were together concerning marriage and the relationship, and a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, spent quite a bit of time there. Today our society is so mixed up and such a mess and so far away from the Word of God. They think that they're okay, they're just a little different. Well, they are different, but I'm sad to say that God despises and hates what's going on when it comes to the relationship of two men or two women and calling it marriage and desiring to live together like a man and a woman would. It's such a sad thing, and our Father in heaven is really saddened and angered by it, and you need to come and confess your sin. And so we know that the marriage, a man and a woman, is set together, and it is one flesh joined together by God permanently. And we know that when the home breaks down, the church breaks down, and the home and church, when it is broken down, then the government begins to deteriorate and nations fall. And that's exactly what's happened to this great nation that we have, because of the perversion that's going on today. So I ask that you'll wake up, and I'll ask that you think, well, that's just the way they are. No, it isn't. They weren't born that way. They have been convinced by our education system and by our government that there is a choice, and you can either be a man or a woman, whichever you want to be. That's a lie. And we need to stand for our God. And you're a man, you're born a man, you're born a boy, you're a boy, you're born a girl, you're a girl. It's just so sad. But what's happened is because this was given an opportunity of divorce because of a problem between a man and a woman, not to talk about the mess that we have today. But by giving this, it's the only way that it can really bring peace, and the only way the divorce is legal in God's eyes, and that's through the act of fornication. So we have good morals. We should respect should be due men to your wives and wives to your men, and this goodness that should be seen between a couple. And so many times today we have single parent families, and it's so sad because they don't have the mother, or they don't have the father, or they go see their father, they go see their mother, back and forth, and it is so sad today. But please, please, sit down and make your family, dad and mom and the children, because when they see the respect that mom and dad have for each other and for their God, then you will find that this is automatically being taught down to the children, and the children need to see this and need to be taught this, that they will respect and walk that wonderful moral life that they should. And so please understand that children are born as a result of the union between man and woman. They are set for a life of respect, a life of love and protection, and this can only be found when their parents stay together and rear them and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. And that's what needs to take place today. So please, please come together. walk with the Lord Jesus. I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, committeth adultery. You see, it's just simple today, and if you kind of get out of the mood of being married, why then, let's just get divorced, you know, instead of seeking the Lord's will and seeking his power and his strength. There is no man, no governor, no king, no president, no dictator has the right to change or legislate laws that are contrary to the laws of Almighty God. So we go to the Word of God. That is the law. And he said, I don't believe in the Word of God. Well, if you would look at the Word of God, you'll find that it's the only good, wonderful way to walk and to live. No group of men or no legislative body has the right to change or supersede the law of God. And yet they have. They've tried to. One man, one woman. That brings together a marriage, brings together the birth of children. Why do we have children? The purpose of children is so that their generation, as we raise them up, loving and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that then they too will raise their children, and so they will be outreaching their generation and raising their children to know the Lord Jesus, so their children can reach their generation. And that's our responsibility, that we reach our generation. It's very important. If today you're not married, you're considering marriage, number one, you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ, be born again before you ever start. And then you need to find a mate that is born again. Please do not take lightly. Many times one will say, I know they're not saved now, but we'll get married, then they'll get saved. If they're not saved now, and you marry them, you're being unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 deals with this, and it is caused nothing but trouble and heartache. So many times, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's as clear as can be there, and that's the same in business. If you're going to have a partner, that partner needs to be saved. They need to be born again. When you comes to a spouse, your husband, your wife, they need to be born again and start that relationship. Because, you see, we don't look at it in that way. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Someone said, they're good people. He's so kind to me and so considerate. There's only one reason that a person that's lost is kind and considerate, and that is because they want something. Now, a born-again believer should be beyond that. A born-again believer should desire with all of their heart to give and to help, and not that they desire something in return. And so, if you're a born-again believer and you're still living the world way, in other words, I'll give if you give. That's not God's way. We give whether we receive or not. And so please, as we 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 is where we found that. Now, back to fifth chapter, back to verse 33 now. Once again, as it said in the 31st verse, whosoever shall, it has been said. And then we went, whosoever shall put away his wife. Now in verse 33, again, ye have heard that it's been said by them. So Jesus here is clarifying some of the words and rumors and actions that's been going on with the Jews. This is particularly with the Jews, but it sure applies with us as well. And so here's something that's going on again. Not only was it so easy, if you just got tired of a person, then you just divorced them. And God's telling them that is not right. And then again, we find in verse 33 deals with something else. It's been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. And so as we look at that verse 33, the taking and the giving and an oath, the Lord here is trying to once again clarify a problem. An oath is a solemn affirmation or declaration made with an appeal to God for the truth of all that is affirmed. Now that's the definition. The oath is a solemn affirmation or declaration made with an appeal to God. This deals with God here. It always has, always will, for the truth of all that is affirmed. You want to know why a lot of people don't seem to bother them to lie? They don't. Some people, they don't even understand the truth. They couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it. There's so many people it's that way. And it's because they've gotten so far away from God that the truth has no bearing on anything. Whatever helps me, whatever advances my agenda, that's what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter whether there's any truth to it or not. And we can look at our government today and our government officials today. And isn't that the truth, that they don't care? They don't know. In so many cases, it's something they want to accomplish, to have. It's got nothing to do with whether it's truth or not. It's got nothing to do whether they're standing against God when they lie. And they do. And right there, it's an appeal to God for the truth of all. So we need to stand that way. Let's go back to a couple Old Testament scripture verses here. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Let's see what the word has to say. Leviticus 19, verse 12. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Profanity is a terrible thing today. So sad. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 23. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Once again, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. In other words, make it true. Now, what's this word forswear mean? Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Now, forswear is to swear falsely, or to swear, in other words, say a lie. I swear that I will do this. I will make an oath that I will do this. The Jews introduced many demands, many changes, as they did with divorce. They changed it to their own liking. Well, they did the same thing here. Many of these became a daily requirement. They would begin to swear, and you'll notice here that it speaks of heaven and earth and Jerusalem and thy head. Well, those are things that they had added to God's word, and what they would do, they would swear by heaven, or they would swear by earth. They'd take an oath by Jerusalem, even, again, upon their own head. But they would not swear by the name of God. And so as long as you didn't swear by the name of God, it didn't matter. You could lie or you could tell the truth. It wasn't. But when you make this oath by God, then there's a problem. And so what they did, they just changed it. Instead of swearing by God or making an oath by God, they backed up and they said, you know, we're going to swear by heaven. Or we're going to swear by earth, by Jerusalem, the holy city Jerusalem, or even our own heads. They didn't consider it to be a problem to break that oath. So, once again, as they did with the divorce, they abused the law of God. They begin to change it to their own way and will. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? Our laws that Congress put out and states and cities put out have nothing to do with whether it's right or wrong. They do it to their own satisfaction so that they can make most of the time, almost always, their style of living to what they want, whether it's the will of God or not, and then also it usually involves a considerable amount of money. So as we examine this, we need to realize that they didn't, as long as it wasn't an oath or sworn by God, it was not a problem. So again, they abused the law of God. Jesus said, what is promised is an oath and should be performed, just like we read back in Deuteronomy. This here, again ye have heard that it hath been said in old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. And so whatever you do or say, what Jesus is clearing up here is that just because the name of God is not given does not give anyone the right to lie or not keep a promise that he'd made or an oath that he had made. The man that does not keep an oath is a liar. And that's exactly what the Lord is teaching these people. Just because you don't use that name doesn't matter. You are a liar. Look at verse 34 here. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is a footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, neither shalt thou by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. What's taking place? And when it says don't swear at all, in other words, your word should be good. Your word should be good. As folks are in business, and I've been in business for almost 40 years, and the majority, high majority of that business, many dollars, was all agreed upon a handshake. Because if my words and their words are not good, then you get into the courts and you get into all those things. Well, if his word isn't good, why is it written on a sheet of paper any good? Well, then it's written down. Well, truth is truth. And so when you take an oath, keep it. Tell the truth. Now, a lot of people, when you see this swear not at all, says, well, then I shouldn't, when I'm in a court situation and I have to swear to tell the truth, there's nothing wrong with that. There's not a single thing wrong with it. But you shouldn't even have to do that. because your word should be good. Do not swear in the manner in which you are accustomed to swearing. In other words, it became something that it was so common. It was so common, and yet never or very seldom was it was ever upheld. Swear not in any that is every day, the common profanity that we have today, and to make a commitment. Jesus is saying, let's go back to the law. Let's go back to the truth. And when you make a promise, when you take an oath, you see that you follow through with that. It is not something to be taken lightly, and that's what was happening here. They were making commitments and promises and had no intention of keeping those commitments or promises. He said, no. You don't need to take an oath. Swear not. We don't need to do that. Just see that your word is good. See that your word is right. And it deals with heaven and earth. And if you go to Isaiah 66:1, when he says down here, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God. And you'll find that in Isaiah 66:1, nor by the earth, for it is a footstool. You'll find that also in Isaiah 66:1. And then with Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You'll find that in Psalms 48:2. It's dealt with there. Neither shalt thou swear by thine head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. Life is not ours to bargain with. And so he went through the heaven, the earth, the Jerusalem, and now he said, if you swear by your own head, you can't change one hair on your head. There's nothing that you can do. Oh, you can go and get it colored. You can do all kinds of stuff if you want to, but the truth is known. You can truthfully, on your own, not change it. And by thy head, and again, life is not ours to do with as we see fit. It is God's. So don't do it on your own. But when you do say or promise someone, see that it is the truth. Let your word be good. Don't take an oath lightly. Say it and mean it. Verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. Speak the truth. Speak the word of God. Tell the truth. When you say yes, mean it. If you say no, mean it. Don't say or do something lightly. It must be, and it has to be, that your word is good. Now, this is especially, I mean, he's speaking to Jews here. Jews that have left the truth of the Word of God. They were notorious. The scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they would come in and they would begin to interpret and to add to it and to change the Word of God, just like so many places and churches do today. They add works to their to what they do so that they can justify this or that, but we are saved by grace. We are saved when we come by faith. And when I say by grace, that grace is unmerited favor. In other words, God shows us his love before we can love him. He shows us his love, and he starts it in maybe you would think a strange way, because he shows us his love by showing us who we are. We're a rotten, filthy sinner. We're a mess. But he doesn't drop us there. He doesn't leave us there. He introduces to us his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's what the Father does through the Holy Spirit. Trust in him, my dear friend, please. Trust in the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?